We sit here watching our breath, because the breath is very close to the mind. And the mind is where the problem is. The problem, of course, is that we're causing ourselves suffering through our own actions, even though our intentions are done for the sake of happiness, pleasure, well-being. Yet they end up causing all kinds of trouble. It's because of our ignorance. Now, technically, it's said to be ignorance of the Four Noble Truths. But it's not simply the fact that we don't know the Four Noble Truths. You've probably heard the Four Noble Truths many, many times. For many people, that's the first thing they learn about Buddhism. We know the words. We can know the definitions. But we're still ignorant of them. In other words, we don't know how to use them. The truths are not simply statements about how things are, but they're categories. Each of the categories has a duty. And if we want to get past our ignorance, we have to follow the duties for each of the categories. When you look at your experience, how do you divide it up? Usually it's me, I, versus the world out there. Things you like, things you don't like. And the imperatives are to maximize my happiness by gaining the things I like. But that's problematic right there, because as the Buddha says, suffering is clinging. And we cling to things because we like them. Now we have them and we want them to be a certain way that we like. And so the imperatives of the ways we look at things actually are causing us to suffer. We need a new set of imperatives. We have to change our ways. As we talked about this afternoon, we have to change our habits. Because the way we're acting is what's causing suffering. We have to look at our habits from the perspective of the Four Noble Truths and figure out where is the clinging. That's something we have to comprehend. In other words, you have to look at these things that you like until you finally see that they really aren't worth clinging to anymore. You have to understand that. Then you look for the cause. The cause of the Buddha said is there's three kinds of craving that lead to becoming. Those are things that have to be abandoned. But here again, we run into trouble. Because a lot of things that we crave are the things we hold on to. When we develop our cravings, we elaborate on them. Sensual craving is probably the most elaborate. We like to sit around thinking about sensual pleasures, and we can think about them for long periods of time. Dress them up this way, dress them up that way, then change them back again. Look for variety. There we are, developing the things we should be abandoning. And as for the qualities of the path that should be developed, we tend to put them aside. If we're really mindful, which means, of course, keeping in mind the tasks of the Four Noble Truths, we'd have to drop a lot of the thinking that we like, and so we tend to snuff out our mindfulness, snuff out our ardency and alertness. In other words, we abandon the things we should we abandon the things we should develop and develop the things we should be abandoning. And we see that we don't like to look inside, so we tend to look outside. And John Mahabho used this image in one of his Dharma talks. He says we take the mud that's inside ourselves and we throw it around outside and say everything else outside is muddy. Find fault with this person, find fault with this situation. We can't stay anywhere. We have to keep going, going, going. You have to look back. Okay, the source of the mud is inside. But inside there's also the potential for cleaning it up. Because we can take those Four Noble Truths and apply them to what we're doing right now. We do formal meditation in situations like this where it's quiet. There are no other responsibilities right now. So you can get used to applying these steps, these duties, seeing things in terms of these categories. You notice that in the categories there's no mention of you in there, just mental events and the results of mental events. So you want that to be your focus. The problem is when you leave meditation, you go out and deal with other people, all of a sudden it's a question of you and them again. And the priorities get changed, and the duties get changed again. We drop the framework we're using while we meditate and pick up our old framework. And so it's no wonder that the practice never develops any momentum. We keep switching back and forth, back and forth. John Lee makes this point. For most of us, the Eightfold Path is one that's divided. Follow the right path for a while, then the wrong path for a while, then the right path again, then the wrong path. He said, no wonder we don't get anywhere. You have to learn how to take that framework. Where is the suffering right now? What's causing the suffering? What actions are causing the suffering? And what actions can be done to abandon that cause? Try to keep that in mind as much as you can. Again, this is why we have a monastery like this. So you can practice dealing with other people in the context of the Four Noble Truths. And get it strengthened so that you can carry that ability out into the world where nobody knows anything about the Four Noble Truths at all, and nobody's following their duties. And it's so easy to fall into the way they see things and the way they do things, because those are the ways you used to see things and do things. You've got to get really strong in maintaining this framework. That's what it means to bring knowledge to the ways that you're causing suffering, so that you don't have to cause suffering. The Buddha talks about how you bring this framework of the Four Noble Truths to every factor in dependent core arising. He doesn't say that you have to know the whole series, simply that you can focus on any one of the factors and think about it in terms of, okay, what is that factor? What is its origination? And how do you apply the Noble Eightfold Path to bring about its cessation? Now you can do that with any factor. Because ignorance underlies all the factors. All you have to do is erase the ignorance or change from the ignorance to knowledge. And you can bring that factor to an end. You can escape from it. We tend to like to use the image of cutting dependent core arising. But that's only one way the Buddha presents it. He also talks about escaping from it. In fact, I don't think he uses the word cutting with any of the factors. It's more escaping, cessation, dispassion. In other words, you grow up. You have no more interest in getting yourself involved in that particular activity again. So you just stop. You see that the allure is not worth it. Whatever little pleasure you get out of it is way overwhelmed by the pain. And when you see that's a necessary connection, this is why the Buddha placed such an emphasis on cause and effect. When you see that it's a necessary connection, you're going to drop it for sure. Just stop doing it. I was reading a couple papers a while back. where the authors were talking about how when the Buddha describes dependent core arising, it's all very deterministic in the sense of hard determinism. In other words, once things are set in motion, they're just going to have to follow through. And even though the Buddha talked about how he would criticize people who taught that everything had to follow through from something that was done in the past, still they said the Buddha himself fell into that trap. But there's no way where there's no place where the Buddha describes dependent core arising in those ways. In the commentaries, they do. You do something in one lifetime, it's going to take another lifetime or still another lifetime for the results to come. In other words, once it's been set in motion, there's nothing much you can do. But the Buddha talked about dependent core arising, both over long periods of time, but also, and more importantly, what's happening to the mind in the present moment. And you can bring knowledge to what's happening in the mind, right here, right now, and change things. The causes are not billiard balls. You simply have ignorance underlying this process. Ignorance is what sustains the process of suffering. And all you have to do is bring an end to ignorance. And we can do that in bits and pieces to begin with, to cut particular patterns of events in the mind that would lead to suffering. And then it gets more thoroughgoing. So you see things in terms of the Four Noble Truths all the time. So the causes are right here. You don't have to trace them back to your childhood or a previous lifetime. They're constantly being repeated right here, right now, right here, right now. And so as the Buddha said, you can't trace things back to a very beginning point because it's inconceivable how things began. But the fact that certain things are sustaining the suffering right now, and you can put an end to those things right here, right now. Stop doing them right here, right now. It means that right here is where you do the work. Right here is where you focus your attention. And it doesn't matter how long the process has been going on. The fact that you can stop it now means that it'll have to stop. John Sweat's images of a cave in which that has been dark for who knows how long, and you bring in a light. And as he said, the darkness has no right to say, you can't bring in that little light. I've been here much longer. I'm more established. This is my place. When the light comes, the darkness has to go. So bring some light to your mind. Examine the things that you really crave. Examine the things that you hold on to, that you cling to. And see them from the perspective of those noble truths. This is what makes them noble. Instead of just clinging and craving and clinging and craving, like animals, we have the maturity and the nobility to step back from those clingings and cravings and say, ah, yes, what I thought I'd liked is causing suffering. Things I hold on to, that's suffering in and of itself. Taking that attitude is taking a noble attitude. And that's the attitude that will set you free.